This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Well, here's a question to consider. Are Michigan's colleges and universities so focused outward that they've become placeless? Are families being needlessly fractured by a growing emphasis on global engagement and a move away from local involvement and commitment? That's the view of my next guest, expressed in his recent column in Bridge Magazine, At College, Gaining the World, But Losing a Home. It's written by Jeffrey Pollett. He's a professor of political science at Hope College. And Jeffrey joins us now from Holland. Welcome to the program, Jeff.
Thank you.
So what is it that you're saying in your piece in Bridge?
Well, it's born of a couple of problems. One is that Michigan is experiencing a bit of a brain drain in terms of the people who graduate from college. They go to college, and then they tend to leave the state at a rather high rate, which means that your best educated people are leaving the state, and the people who stay behind are less educated. The other thing is, and this is born out of personal experience, just witnessing the kind of fragmentation of families that takes place when people go off to college. You know, that has all sorts of effects, but one effect is that it's unlikely they'll ever return home again, and then they'll end up in some other place, and they'll experience a certain amount of isolation and further fragmentation and dissociation in those new places they go to. So what you get is a hypermobile society of a lot of placeless people.
Okay. Which I think, you know, a lot of families have felt that, and maybe just attributed that to living in the 21st century, where, you know, it is a smaller world when you can, you know, Skype with mom and dad back home in Michigan, even if you live in Chicago or whatever. So we are a lot more mobile. Is that because of what's happening in our colleges, do you think?
That's certainly part of it. Sigmund Freud, in his book Civilization and Its Discontents, has a passage in there where he talks about being able to talk to his son on the telephone, and that people say to him, well, be thankful you have the telephone because now you can talk to your son. And he said, well, yeah, but talk to me about the ship that took him so far away from me. And in other words, you have these social factors, these technologies and so forth that create distance, and we try to create new technologies to solve that problem of distance, but we're always dealing at the level of symptoms. We're always two or three steps removed from the problem, which is the fact that we've created these enormous distances between one another. And the main thing that drives that, the main two things that drive that are the developments of new technologies and a centralized cash economy.
I'm trying to get a handle on exactly at whom you're aiming your criticism in this piece. Is it at colleges and universities, or is it students who are leaving home to go away to college, or graduates who leave Michigan for jobs and lives elsewhere, or all of the above?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the immediate target in that piece are colleges who see themselves as agents of upward mobility. That's their primary purpose, is to function within a cash nexus economy for the purpose of creating upward mobility. But one of the things I mentioned in that piece is that the way up is a way out. And so what this does is it kind of fractures communities and so forth. And then it's kind of secondarily targeted towards students to make them aware of, and families, I suppose, to make them aware that this is a kind of ethos of the modern college, and it's not one that they need to necessarily participate in. Not that they shouldn't go to college necessarily. I have a vested interest in thinking that they ought to go to college.
Sure, sure.
But not thinking of colleges as serving these large, abstract non-communities. I mean, a community is a word that's bowdlerized. It's abused quite a bit. I mean, a community has to be a place.
Okay.
It can't be placeless. And the way that we think about community is largely placeless. And then we end up with students or graduates who really aren't committed to a place, to living somewhere.
Are you kind of feeling that it would be better if students went to college and lived at home, or went to college close to home?
Yeah, I think it'd be better for everybody if they went to college close to home, and I think it'd be better if the colleges thought of themselves as serving the needs of particular communities. Take Hope College, for example.
Now, okay.
Maybe this is a kind of unusual sort of place. We're located right in the center of Holland.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're one of a couple of liberal arts colleges in Western Michigan. But I don't see there anything wrong with thinking of Hope College as having its primary constituency be Holland, Michigan, or the Lakeshore area. You know, rather than going after this brass ring of, you know, rankings and so forth, which encourage you to draw in students from all over the place and draw in faculty from all over the place, and then become kind of placeless in the process.
When we talk about drawing in students and faculty and being anchored to that sense of the immediate community, can that not lead to being very, very looking inward, very parochial, and realizing we are part of the entire world? Are we missing something if we focus too much on what's at home and what's around us?
I suppose there's a danger to that. But we're only part of the world in a kind of abstract way. I mean, if you think about the kind of virtues that were traditionally associated with the notion of community, it's based upon mutual dependence, mutual aid, knowledge of one another, trust of one another. You know, one of the things that social scientists have looked at in the last decade or two are declining levels of trust within society. And in my judgment, these declining levels of trust are related to the fact that we don't have intimate knowledge of one another.
Hmm.
And, I mean, you can't trust people you don't know. You don't have direct moral obligations to people you don't have direct knowledge of. So, you know, this talk about, you know, a global society, I don't know in what sense that's a society at all, not by any kind of traditional definition of what a society is. That is, people bound together by mutual interest and by mutual law.
I'm speaking with Jeffrey Paulette, who's a professor of political science at Hope College in Holland, and his recent column in Bridge Magazine is called At College, Gaining the World but Losing a Home. And Jeff, you express a lot of concern in your piece about what you call the fracturing of families, and you write about seeing parents go through these gut-wrenching separation scenes when they have to drop their children off at college. And I can tell you I've been through that twice, and those tears happen even when we're taking our kids to kindergarten right down the street. Isn't that just part of realizing that your kids are moving onward and upward, and that's life?
It's certainly life in 20th and 21st century America. You know, when you have, you know, universal systems of compulsory education.
Mm.
I mean, it doesn't have to be that way. And I'm not necessarily saying that it's bad to be that way. You know, I have two kids who are college graduates and another one who's a sophomore at college right now. You
mm-hmm.
know, so I've gone through this. And, you know, part of me says, oh, this is the way this isn't a bad thing. I mean, I think it's good that my kids have gone to college, but there's a price that you pay. There's a cost.
Hmm.
You know, so as tough as it was dropping one of my daughters off at college, it was even tougher helping her move out to Philadelphia. You know, and in some ways now she's kind of isolated, and in other ways we're isolated from her. And if you get a whole culture that's kind of formed that way, one thinker has referred to this as the age of the loose individual. You know, people who aren't embodied or embedded in the sorts of institutions that create meaning, that form identity, that shape moral obligation, and then they become engage in the pursuit of other things. And I think in our economy, it's in our culture, it's largely economic goods.
Hmm. Let me ask you this. What if home, meaning Michigan, doesn't offer that great job that exists, let's say, in Chicago or in Philadelphia? Or what if that youngster just wants to spread those proverbial wings and see what life is like elsewhere?
Yeah, you know, the second question, I think, is a really interesting one. Wallace Stegner, the American novelist, referred to these as two types of people known as boomers and stickers.
That's a good term.
Yeah, you know, some people just kind of need to get out. And that's, in a certain sense, you know, I've got nothing necessarily negative to say about that, except to draw attention to the costs of it.
Mm-hmm.
That these things are not unequivocal goods. They carry with them certain losses. And I think part of, you know, what's happened to me, and I think happens to a lot of people, is they become kind of keenly aware of what is lost in these things. And so it's not a sort of nostalgic longing for something. It's just a realization that when people are asking you to accept certain losses on the promise of uncertain gains, you're going to be a bit hesitant in those situations and become reflective in those kinds of situations. And that kind of reflection is a good thing also.
An interesting, thought-provoking piece, At College, Gaining the World But Losing a Home, written by my guest, Jeffrey Paulette, who's a professor of political science at Hope College in Holland. You can find his piece at bridgemi.com. And thank you so much for talking with us today and giving us an interesting bunch of things to think about, Jeffrey. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome.